From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. As we all work together on the front lines to best serve our patients with COVID-19, the ACC is working alongside you to provide important clinical guidance for our global cardiovascular team members. Go to the ACC's COVID-19 hub on acc.org, and you'll find clinical guidance and practice, perspectives and frontline experiences, regulatory and reimbursement updates, and COVID-19 and CVD management on-demand webinars. These are all very useful to us as we work together to fight this global pandemic. In keeping with the importance of COVID-19 and what we're all dealing with, I've chosen three articles today that are related to COVID-19 that I think are useful to us as we manage our patients. Obviously, the pandemic is spreading at an exponential rate, and the initial reports have said that hypertension and diabetes and cardiovascular diseases are the most frequent comorbidities in affected patients where the case fatality rates are high. And many of the patients with those comorbidities are treated with drugs like renin-angiotensin system blockers and angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors. But the use of ACEs or ARBs in patients with COVID-19 or at risk for COVID-19 is the subject of a very intense debate. A very good article this past week in JAMA Cardiology, including authors from our own team, Tom Maddox being one, I think highlight important aspects of this debate. The SARS-CoV-2 virus uses angiotensin-converting enzyme receptor 2 for entry into target cells. And of course, you know that this receptor is predominantly expressed by epithelial cells in the lungs, intestines, kidney, heart, and blood vessels. Animal studies, particularly in mice, have shown that expression is substantially increased with patients treated with ACEs and ARBs. And based on those observations, some experts have speculated that perhaps the use of these drugs could lead to an increased expression of ACE2 that might facilitate entry of the COVID-19 virus. On the other hand, it's also been postulated that the virus binding to ACE2 might attenuate residual ACE2 activity, and it could skew the balance to a state of heightened angiotensin II activity, leading to pulmonary vascular vasoconstriction, inflammation, oxidative organ damage, and all of these might increase the risk for lung injury. But conceivably, the renin-angiotensin system modulation, either by ACEs or ARBs, could lead to an increased expression of ACE2, and that might help mitigate some of the deleterious effects of angiotensin II. It's also been postulated that increased levels of the soluble form of ACE2 might act as a competitive inhibitor of the SARS-CoV virus and slow virus entry into cells and actually protect against lung injury. So we have potentially competing physiologies here, and the answer is very much unknown. Several professional societies have put forward their guidance regarding recommendations of using ACEs or ARBs in patients with COVID-19. In summary, all the guidelines recommend continuing ACEs or ARBs in patients who have COVID-19 unless clinically indicated to stop. Furthermore, they also suggest not initiating these agents in patients without a clear indication like hypertension, heart failure, diabetes, given the lack of strong evidence showing benefit of these medications in COVID-19. A multi-center double-blind placebo-controlled phase 2 trial starting losartan in COVID-19 in outpatients and in inpatients is being planned and obviously will provide us with additional insight. Obviously, we need more studies and more trials to really answer this question. But for now, if your patient is on one of these agents for a good reason, you should continue it until we have better science. Let me now switch gears to a paper that came out in the European Heart Journal this week, and it was recommendations from Peking Union Medical College on the management of acute MI in patients who have COVID-19. Obviously, for acute MI with COVID-19, a safe and efficient medical environment needs to be provided for patients, and we wanted to provide effective reperfusion therapy for STEMIs. Many medical centers don't have professionally protected cardiac cath rooms and cardiac care units for respiratory infectious diseases. And under these situations, the prevention of COVID-19 requires the coordination of hospital administrators and the multidisciplinary teams to figure out what to do. Emergency intravenous thrombolysis is the first choice for acute ST elevation MI in patients with COVID-19. For these patients, strict isolation should start immediately. Obviously, we want to assess them for thrombolytic contraindications. Patients who are contraindicated to thrombolytic therapy should probably be transferred to a local designated infectious medical institution immediately for further treatment. Patients without thrombolytic contraindications should probably be given thrombolytics first and then transferred to hospitals where there's expertise in managing these highly infectious type situations. Now, there are some hospitals where COVID-19 could be evaluated with a rapid test. And if that's possible and could be done within an hour, then that presents additional options for cardiologists and care team members. Clearly, we want to monitor these patients closely, and we want to conduct emergency coronary intervention if we can eliminate COVID-19 from the possibility with a rapid test. If not, then on-site thrombolysis makes the most sense. What about non-STEMI? Well, the recommendation for non-STEMI is that the treatment strategy should probably be based on the GRACE risk score, which allows you to risk stratify those into higher risk or lower risk. And then, obviously, patients such as this going to a cath lab, you've got to be at a medical institution that's ready to manage such patients both from an infectious disease point of view and a cardiovascular point of view. Non-STEMIs, typically many of them can be medically managed, but in the higher risk group based on GRACE, it is not unreasonable to proceed to cardiac cath and potentially PCI in selected patients at selected institutions. Lastly, I want to talk about another paper that came out this week in the European Heart Journal, and it really looks at the impact of other biomarkers in COVID-19 patients and outcomes. This was authored by professors from Tongji Hospital in Huazhong, China. So among patients who have evidence of myocardial injury, hospital mortality is more than three times higher than patients who have a serum cardiac troponin level that's normal. Also, if you look at C-reactive protein, patients with significant elevations of C-reactive protein have higher risk, as do those who have higher levels of N-terminal pro-BNP. These patients correlate in those who have elevated troponins. So there's a prevalence of myocardial injury that's really much higher among severe or critically ill COVID-19 patients. And obviously, these patients have a much higher mortality. Studies suggest that monitoring patients for myocardial injury during hospitalization for severe or critically ill COVID-19 status may be beneficial in terms of how we triage them, how we monitor them, and potentially how long they're in the hospital. Interestingly, the CT features of COVID-19's effect on the lungs look pretty similar to patients with heart failure, so it can be difficult to figure out in this global pandemic whether imaging on CT is consistent with the impact of the virus or is actually evidence of left atrial hypertension from heart failure. Both groups have ground glass opacity, thickening of interlobular septa, but the ratio of central and gradient distribution was higher in patients with heart failure than patients with COVID-19 and the so-called cephalization of vessels that we see on chest x-ray. Enlargement of pulmonary veins, lesion distribution, and morphology are important clinical findings to identify patients both with heart failure and or COVID-19. And clearly, we need much more research in terms of both evaluating, risk stratifying, and managing these patients. So I've tried to give you some information today about COVID-19. We've talked a little bit about the question of using ACEs and ARBs. We've talked about managing ST segment elevation myocardial infarction and a bit about non-STEMIs. And we've talked a little bit more about the use of biomarkers and how they risk stratify these patients. As I watch this pandemic and the response both in this country and around the world, I can't help but reflect on the sense of teamwork, collaboration, absolute resilience, courage that I see in our cardiovascular care team members. I admire you. I know that all of us are basically experiencing a probably once-in-a-lifetime professional challenge that we never anticipated. And I wish you health, safety, and I'll look forward to talking to you again next week. For your information, this was recorded on Monday, April 6th, and I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. Please go to the ACC's hub on COVID-19 for this information and any other guidelines that you can garner from our wonderful website, which is being updated daily to meet your needs. Thank you.